you know and identify fake stuff when you see it. See, the devil tried to duplicate love, but he called it, it's really lust, because it looks like love, but it ain't. It looks like love, and it drives you like you think you love and you really want, but then it ain't really love. It's lust. You lust for money. Come on and say amen. You lust for power. You lust for other people. It's a whole bunch of stuff. It ain't got to always be sexual, but lust is something that drives you to a point that you'll do anything. You don't care who you hurt. You don't care what you do. You don't care what you say. Preaching here. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. You don't care about anything else but what you want. But love doesn't act like that. Love is not puffed up. Love denies itself. Love does not think itself above any other. Love bears all things. I wish I had somebody. Love gives all. I wish I had somebody now. And we need to know what love really is. Y'all still with me here? Do I need to just go ahead and close now? He said that. Now that's, they said no, not me. He said, beloved, God so loved us, so we ought to love one another. Are you loving each other? Now, if you can treat a person cold and not forgive, y'all hear me? Let me go on a little further. If not only if you treat somebody cold, but if you got cold intentions, yeah. You don't have love. Huh? I know they might have did you something, but God didn't say eye for an eye.
Right.
He said, Jesus said, if you read Matthew 5, he taught, when he began to teach the first teaching that Jesus gave, he said, this is the first thing. He said, I know you heard eye for an eye, two for two, but I say you need to love.
Amen.
That's what Jesus said. I said you need to forgive. Amen. Amen. Now, well, let me explain this. Now, forgiving you don't mean I got to be in your face every day. Huh? Because I got sense enough to know that you don't bring out the best in me, and I don't bring out the best in you. So let's be the best in our own corners. Y'all with me here? We gotta learn how to just do that instead of, you know, I gotta hold a grudge with you because me and you don't get along. You know, we don't get along, so we don't hang out. It's fine. But when I see you, I can love on you and say, God bless you. I don't mean no ill will towards you. The Bible says this, that, you know, and we
know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Wells Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe. With the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I want you to turn your Bibles, if you will, to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4.
First John chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, recorded are these words: Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy words. This word, my brothers and sisters, as we have recorded here by John, is sharing with the saints, the believers, how to identify and to test the spirit realm. A discerning of spirits is likely to have a major role in this particular word that we have before us. But one of the things that even beyond the discerning spirit is the written word of God, whereby everything that comes into our existence is measured as either good or evil, right or wrong, acceptable or unacceptable. One of the things that he says, if you look at the first verse in the fourth chapter of 1 John, he says, Beloved. And I like the posture that John takes here, because he's old now and he's settled, he's stable, he's sound and strong in the things of faith. And he is not only encouraging the saints, but educating the saints about how to deal with the spirit realm. Because something is wrong, seriously wrong, when you have saints who don't know how to, especially if they've been in the spirit or the word or the ministry or in God for any length of time, how to deal both in the spirit realm and the natural realm. Something is seriously wrong when you become mature in Christ by age, chronologically speaking, but not so in terms of reality in your spiritual growth, whereby the development that must take place in order for you to flow and function in the word, in the will, and in the way, and then in and outside of this church and our ministry, so that when men see you, when men hear you, when men witness you, it is again your interaction with them that they are able to see God in you and you in them, or that you're able to identify a spirit that is not like God, so that you yourself are not fooled or bewildered or in any way fooled by what the devil can do, because you know the spirit and how he operates. Now, the devil has hoodwinked and behooved and messed over a whole lot of us because we don't know how to discern him or his activity. One of the things, again, that is so important, and Jesus functioned and operated out of this. You remember, again, when Peter was with the group, when Jesus said one day, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they started saying, some say you are, you know, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, Elijah, et cetera, et cetera. Jesus said, that's good. He said, but who do you say that I am? And it was Peter who was given the divine revelation, and Peter spoke out and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, Simon bar Jonah, flesh and blood have not revealed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, one of the things that he wanted to make clear was that he knew where that revelation had come from. That revelation came from his Father. The Spirit revealed to Peter that Jesus was the Son of Almighty God. Jesus knew. Peter didn't get that on his own. He didn't pull that out of thin air. He knew the devil didn't tell him that. He knew that could only come from one place, and that was the Father and the Spirit of truth. And so Jesus identified that. But a few verses later, as they continued on their journey, Jesus was telling them about the Calvary experience, that he was going to have to give his life up for them, and so that he would have to pay this awesome price as a ransom for our sins. He would have to stand in our place. And Peter, who had been used a few moments earlier to say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," he was then used by Satan to tell Jesus, "Don't do it, be far from you. I rebuke you, Jesus, for talking like that." Well, now Jesus turns around and he looks at Peter, but he sees the Spirit speaking through Peter. And he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He doesn't say, "Get thee behind me, Peter," because he knew Peter was the vessel. But what was placed in Peter was placed by the Antichrist, by the spirit of error, by Satan himself. And so Jesus, because he knew truth when he heard truth. He knew that lined up with truth. He knew that came from God. He knew one thing that you and I must know, that God will never contradict his word. Jesus said in Luke, "I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly," and John as well. But he said in Luke, "I have come to seek and to save that which were lost." If he were to come to seek and to save that which were lost, why then would God rebuke him for going to Calvary when he was already assigned to Calvary before he ever got to earth? You see, one of the things you've got to know about God's word and God's will is when God speaks, he speaks authoritatively, arbitrarily, and absolutely. God is not fickle. God does not vacillate. God does not waver. God does not say one thing today and another thing tomorrow. What he says, he means, and what he means, he says. That's the confidence that the believer has in trusting God's word, because the word and the record is, in Psalm 89, is that his word is established in heaven forever. Now that means if God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. He's not going to change his mind. He's not going to change his position. He's going to maintain what he's declared, because he is not a man that he should lie. Amen. So that's one of the comforts in knowing the word of God, knowing the will of God, and knowing the way of God. And I throw out parenthetically, knowing the work of God. When you know God's work, then you understand how God operates. And this is what Jesus knew. He knew Jesus. He knew God's work. Jesus knew God's way. Jesus knew God's word. Jesus knew God's will. And he could not and would not allow the enemy to divert or pervert God's will. The man that had been used in just a moment's time before by God was the same man used by Satan, because he was a vessel. And see, sometimes you got to be careful that when God uses you, you don't get in self. You don't get puffed up in pride. You don't get lifted up in self. You don't get to thinking that you are all of that. No, you are what God made you. And while you are somebody, you need to know you are somebody in Christ, not in yourself. And it is in Christ, in that Christ has authorized and ordained and purposed and empowered you for life to do, that gives to you the ability to stand in his anointing. And Peter was given a revelation by God. He got puffed up in self. And when you get in self, Satan to make you say some things you never would have said in and of yourself. Satan to make you do some things that you would not do in and of yourself. Satan to make you go some places you wouldn't think about going. Satan can make you do some stuff when you don't fully belong to God or is committed to God and the word and the will and the way of God, as Peter at that time was. Peter had not fully come into the full salvation nor the operation of the Holy Ghost, so everything that he had came in proportion to the appointment that God had for him at that time. He was not walking or functioning in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And so you can't talk God's talk unless you have the Spirit of God in you. You can't just will to prophesy because you want to say something good about somebody, or bad for that matter. You can't just take it upon yourself to speak on behalf of God if God has not ordered or ordained you to do so. You speak under the unction of and the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the call of God on your life. You can't just preach because you feel like being a preacher. The word asks the question, how can they preach here without a preacher? But it doesn't stop there. It says, and how can they preach except they be sent? Some, when you hear them preach, you know they've been sent. Some, when you hear them preach, you know they just got up and went. But you've got to be able to discern the difference. Now they may say they're called, and I don't doubt they're calling, but the question becomes, who called them? The word said, beware of dogs. And somebody wrote the song, who let the dogs? I don't want to take y'all away. Let me bring you back here. Look if you will. What John says in verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit. But try the spirit. Notice it doesn't say by the spirit. I just want to stick a pin in that saying right now and curse that saying because you got it wrong. God's word is clear. He does not say try the spirit by the spirit, because let me help you understand that saying. If you try the spirit by the spirit or your spirit, if your spirit is wrong and you hear a wrong spirit, y'all are gonna connect because both of y'all are wrong. But notice what the word says. It says, try the spirit whether they are of God. Listen at this. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Try the spirit and see whether they be of God. Not by the spirit. The spirit of truth bears witness to truth. But listen at this. The spirit of truth brings light to error. You see, when the Spirit of God is in you, I mean, if there's another man or woman ministering the word or talking or witnessing and so forth, the Spirit of God that's in you, not your spirit, but the Spirit of truth, God's Spirit that's inside you, greater is he that is in you. The Spirit of God is going to bear witness when the word comes out of that man or woman's mouth that comes from the Spirit of God. Your spirit will have peace and receive that word, even if it's a convicting word. Even if you don't want to hear it, even if you don't like it, you're going to know it's true because there's going to be a conviction underneath the skin that says it's true. But if it's not true, there is going to be a vexation and worration, as the old folks say, in your spirit that something just ain't right. I don't know the word that good, but something just ain't clicking together here. The Holy Ghost is not going to give you peace about that and help you understand, even if they are quoting it right but taking it out of context. The Holy Ghost is going to pull on your spirit and say, don't swallow all of that like that. Something isn't right with that. And you are not going to have peace about it because there is a vexation in your spirit because it does not bear witness to the Spirit of God. And when you understand that, the Bible says many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now again, because God has called us to study 2 Timothy 2 and 15, to show thyself, yourself, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing, opening up, giving understanding and interpretation to the truth, that needeth not be ashamed. Now listen at this, because when you understand what John is saying, when you understand what Paul was saying to young Timothy, when you understand that Jesus said that the Holy Ghost, the other comforter, was going to come and he was going to reveal all things unto you. He was going to bring all things back to your remembrance. He was going to teach you all things. It was the Spirit of truth who was going to take the written truth, which is the Bible, and unfold it or cause it to come to life where it makes sense to you and you understand it and can thus apply it and then profit from it as you practice the principles herein. And so it's important for you to know the word so that you can operate in authority with assurance, so that when you pray the truth. You pray what God says. You don't have to get on your knees saying, Lord, here I come, your poor, weak, and humble servant, when you understand that that's not what God wants you to be. But you declare who you are in Christ and what he says you are. When you pray with authority. You don't say, Lord, if it be your will. You read the word. You find out what is the will of God. And you say, Lord, according to your will. And you begin, because you belong to him and you are the inheritance and you are joint heirs with Christ Jesus, and you have the authority as the inheritance of God to receive the blessings of God. You are, again, an heir who has a right also, as you have inherited all things. You have the right to partake of all things that belong to you. Some of you got some stuff already waiting with your name on it, but you don't know how to get into it. Some of us speak, I've shared this with so many people so many times, against what the word says, and we wonder why we don't have what the word says. When you walk in the knowledge of the truth, and if there is truth presented to you, your spirit will hear it and know that if it agrees with the Spirit of God, which is written in the word of God, you will know it's truth, because there will be peace underneath the skin. But when it's not, you will not be fooled, because you will not be trying the Spirit by the Spirit. Look at what this word says. It says, again, verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. It means know the Holy Ghost. See, he knows you. But the question is, do you know him? Because when you know him, you will hear him when he speaks to you. See, not very many, and it's sad to say that, but not many believers know the voice of God. Don't know when God is speaking to them, can't discern when God is giving them a revelation or whether it's some thought in their mind. Don't know the voice of God, don't know his spirit. But you see, if you had fellowship with him more, and you talk to him and he talks back to you, he speaks to your spirit and reveals things to you, you would know his voice. You would know him. Listen, the word says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. In other words, every witness that identifies that Jesus Christ has come, in other words, in the flesh, from his divine place in heaven and came to tabernacle here on earth with man, he became flesh. That is the Spirit of truth. That is what Jesus truly did. That is the truth. Listen to what the word says. It says, and every spirit, verse 3, that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. So you have these religions and denominations that say, well, God has not come down and dwelt with man in human flesh. In other words, the Son of God, the Savior. There are some, even in the Jewish denomination and nation, are still looking for the Messiah, because they don't believe that Jesus has come in the flesh already. They are still looking for the Messiah to come, not the second time, but the first time. And so therefore, the word says that you cannot believe that person who does not know and or confess that Jesus has not come. It's a trick from the enemy if they tell you anything other than what the word has already declared. Jesus has already come. Emmanuel has already come and dwelt among us. Listen at this word again. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, of Satan, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. In other words, the Antichrist spirit, Satan, his lying, deceiving spirit is already in the world. And when you understand the deception of the enemy, the deceit of the enemy, the trickery, and all of the ways, his guile, when you begin to see the wiles of the devil himself, you are able to discern what is good, what is evil, what is right, what is wrong, what is godly, what is not, because of his word.
That's right.
Now, a whole lot of us don't understand that the reason God gave to us the word in written form is to bear witness to the things in the spirit form. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that the Holy Ghost would never tell me to do anything opposite of what God has written in his word. So when somebody come up and tell me, Pastor, the Lord told me to tell you that you my husband. You do know they got some bold demons, don't you? And I'm learning to call them lying demons out. You are a liar. God ain't told you nothing. You lying demon from hell, you. Well, Pastor, how do you know that? Because the Bible says, he that findeth a wife. If I ain't looking for you, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go. I didn't mean to get personal, but I was just giving you an example. You got your own examples. You need to know you can't be fooled when you know truth. How God operates, he does not vacillate. God speaks what he says and means what he says and speak. And that's the way we judge whether it is of God, because if it is of God, it's going to follow the tracks of how God operates. The Lord told me to tell you that he wants me to bless you. He wants you to bless me. You are blessed, and the Lord wants me to bless. No, if the Lord wanted me to bless you, the Lord would have spoken by his spirit and told me you were coming. I wish I had a witness. And when you started talking about your situation, if I had not already acted in obedience, when you started talking, the Holy Ghost was talking. Didn't I tell you to bless them? And when you start talking about, you know, and this is cut off and this is not happening so forth, the Lord would just whip me and beat me till I go in my pocket, or till I ask somebody to assign to you what you need for your situation. Because when God works by his, see, that's why you can't be fooled by everybody holding up a sign saying, we'll work for food. Please help me. God bless you. You know, the only reason why you feel guilty when you roll up on the road in whatever you're riding in and somebody's standing on the side of you and the devil tries to make you, or they're standing up there with that pitiful looking face asking for something. Listen, let me tell you that this is the world. The world takes care of its own. If God wanted you to give to them, he would put it in your spirit. I want you to hear me well, because the devil don't want you to know truth. It can be somebody with a sign or without a sign, because God will give you a sign by speaking to your spirit about doing what it is he wants you to do, and he'll tell you how much to do.
So if I roll up on somebody and they're standing out there and I don't want them to work for nothing for me, for no food, then that's, they're not talking to me. I mean, God bless you.